All right. Well, let's turn our hearts toward God in our time of worship. In just a minute, we're going to sing from Psalm 99, and I thought I would use that as our call to worship. So here's the first three verses of Psalm 99. And this is a way of us acknowledging God's power and His holiness. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise Thy great and awesome name. Holy is He. This is a picture of the God that we're coming before right now to worship. And He is a great and powerful God. He has made everything around us. He has made us and our bodies. There is nothing that isn't within His power. And we come before this God saying these things back to Him as a way of us acknowledging His authority and power over us and our obligation to serve and obey Him. So please turn in your Psalters to Psalm 99, Selection A. Should be a tune that's familiar to most. This is a psalm that shows us God's might. His strength loves justice, it says. So He is a just God, and He loves justice that is man's justice when done rightly. The psalmist is recounting evidence of God's greatness. It mentions the cloudy pillar that the people of Israel followed out of Egypt. And it indicates that God has forgiven His people for their iniquity, but chastened them. Everybody knows what chastened means? Chastened usually means punished or somehow made to suffer for something that you had sinned over. And therefore, the psalmist calls us to bow down and give worship to God. And that's what we're going to do right now. Please stand to sing Psalm 99, Selection A, after which we'll pray together.
Let the nations
for this, Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy scriptures and these songs that we've just sung that proclaim your majesty, your holiness, your might, and reveal to us, Lord, your great plan from the beginning of all time, that you would call your people to repentance and salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are imperfect, Lord. We know that we have sinned against you in many ways. We know that we don't always invest ourselves in the right activities and the right thoughts. We know that we have distractions of other idols before us all the time, it seems. And yet we pray and we come before you in heaven through your Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life and who now intercedes before us. We thank you, Lord, for writing our names in your book, those of us who can call on that Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Be with us now, Lord, as we worship, as we proclaim your greatness and your power, as we remind ourselves of our obligations to you to be your obedient servants. Allow these things to touch our hearts, Lord. Strengthen us for the week ahead and for the year ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 119M. Please turn there. 119, selection M. It's a short little psalm, but it has some really great things for us to consider. And if you notice the title of the sermon, I'm going to be presenting your fitness plan for 2015. And we'll talk about what fitness plans are in a minute. But this psalm sort of encapsulates a lot of what I want to capture. It is talking about us loving God's law and it being our study or our meditation all day long. It talks about the benefits of us recognizing that God's commandments can make us wiser than we would otherwise be. It says, I know more than the old ones because I have observed thy precepts. And this is talking to the youth of the congregation. It's entirely possible that if you studied the Word, you would know more than me and perhaps more than Pastor Howe, perhaps more than any other Christian that's ever lived. It is absolutely possible as a young person to know what matters most in this life. And I would challenge you that that is something that you should be striving toward. It says, I've restrained my feet from evil ways. This is something that we need to be doing day by day and week by week. Thy words are sweeter than honey. Honey's pretty sweet, and yet God's word is better than that. And therefore, I hate false ways. These are all things that we're about to sing together, and let's try to apply them to our own lives as we sing. Please stand and sing along to Psalm 119M. Father in heaven, we have confessed our sins before you, and yet we know that you still care to have us come and worship you. And you have told us that we should bring our cares and our concerns before you, Lord, our feelings of weakness or inadequacy, our feelings of depression or despair, our real world needs for jobs and food and housing, our desires for our loved ones and those who are yet outside your promised salvation. And so, Lord, we bring these cares before you. We thank you for hearing them. We thank you for not looking on our sin, but only looking at your Son's perfect righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you so easily, simply by stilling our hearts and seeking you out and praying to you. So, Lord, I would pray that each one of us would be blessed with a strength of confidence, and with a strength that only the Holy Spirit perhaps can provide, that we would regularly come before you in prayer and find you waiting to hear from us, as a father waits to hear from his children who have needs. We thank you, Lord, for that pathway that you've given us so clearly in your scriptures. We pray and thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We thank you for the many years now of service that he has given to this congregation. We pray for his encouragement and his strengthening, that 2015 will be a time of great growth and maturing and happiness and contentment in his work here in our congregation. We thank you, Lord, for the great servant that you have put in our midst to guide us in these ways. And pray, Lord, that we as his congregation will find ways to give him thanks and to acknowledge him, to let him know the importance of his role here in the ministry in Rhode Island and in our lives. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, the many blessings that we have received in 2014. For those of us that have found work, we give you thanks, Lord. For those of us that have found this country, we give you thanks, Lord, in spite of the difficulties that it sometimes represents. We thank you for taking so many out of danger. And I pray, Lord, that in 2015, those that are new to this congregation, that are new to this country, will see the great blessing of your hand on their lives and on the lives of their families. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have had this year in faith and in both material and heart ways. Each of us have been maturing over the year. We pray, Lord, that this will continue in 2015. We pray, Lord, for safe travels for so many that are on the road from our congregation this week. And we pray that you would bring them back safely, that they have had a pleasant time of refreshment and fellowship with their families. Lord, we pray that they have been able to bring the good news of their salvation along with them to share with others. We pray that Dan and Erwin will be safe in their travel and enjoy their time in Kentucky this week. We thank you, Lord, for your answer to Topper's long prayers of seeking your guidance in his work life. And we pray, Lord, that he will be able to work among people who like and respect him, that the students will listen to him, and that he will feel a sense of contentment and belonging in that role, Lord. We give you thanks for it. We pray for Paula's sister, Mary Rose, that the procedures coming up will go well, that you would give the doctors great wisdom and skill in diagnosing the troubles that she is facing, and that there would be good healing offered there. And we pray for Bogota's wrist and body, Lord, that you will continue to heal it, that he will be feeling back to himself, regular self soon, Lord. We pray that the lawyer that is working for him will be successful in gaining justice for the damage to Bogota and to his work. We pray that your hand will be among and upon their family, Lord, as they seek your answer to these things, as they seek your blessing, Lord. And we pray for Apolline, that her body will not hurt too much. We pray that the doctors will have great wisdom, too, in how to treat her, and that she would be given relief from these many trials that you have faced her with. We thank you, Lord, for Jean-Pierre's being back with us and for her feeling better. Lord, we pray for things outside of our congregation, too. We pray for peace. We pray for peace in lands far away. We pray for peace here in America. We pray for an end to suffering. We pray for an end to hunger. We pray for an end to war, Lord. These are things that are so big that only you can do them. And we pray that you would bring justice in your fashion, Lord, so that we might not despair that the world is evil and lost, but that we would see your hand in it. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So if anybody has a bulletin in front of them, you'll see that I'm not looking at the bulletin, but it says various texts. It's our tradition that we usually will read one passage and then we'll sort of preach on that passage and then that'll be it. But I thought of something different. Since I don't preach very often, I get a certain luxury. I can do pretty much whatever I want, I guess. I don't have to preach through one book at a time or things that are Pastor Howe's sort of traditional methods, which are good methods, by the way. And I was sort of reflecting that 2015 is upon us, and that's usually a good year, or it seems to be a good time of year for people to consider how things went in their life over the past year. And many times, not always, but many times, we sort of imagine how we would like to do things differently, and we say, okay, maybe in 2015, I'll do these things a little better, or I will be a little, I won't eat as many cookies, which happens to be one of my problems, or challenges. So in 4 more days, we're going to start a new year, and this is a good time for people to make New Year's resolutions. And you will hear on the radio, or see on TV, or you might get emails, or you'll see stuff in the newspaper. You might see billboards which are saying, lose weight now. Or what's another something or other? What is it? Stop smoking. That's right. Exercise more. Whatever it might be. Is this a time of year where things like that come up? TV will be full of these kinds of ads. Doing better at school. You might see things like that. And and that's not bad. Those kinds of New Year's resolutions are not a bad idea. Of course, that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning, right? There's a general rule of thumb, though, that goes with any one of these kinds of resolutions, which is that you need a plan. So if you're interested in losing weight, again, that's sort of dear to my heart, you need to have a plan. You need to decide what you will eat, what you won't eat, how much you'll exercise, and things of that nature. You need to set aside some amount of time to accomplish these goals, otherwise they won't happen. And at least in my case, I know that you can't cheat. So I know this as a head knowledge, not as a heart knowledge, because I cheat all the time when it comes to dieting, and don't ask my family about that. People, as a result of that kind of tendency towards cheating and not being disciplined, we often need coaches or mentors. And that's why you see all these advertisements, because any one of us has the capacity to go out of our house and walk 10 miles a day, assuming you have the time to do it. You don't need fancy gyms or fancy food necessarily to accomplish this idea of losing weight. But we need coaches and mentors to help point out the areas that we need to improve, to encourage us sometimes, to correct us many times, and to offer compliments and criticisms ultimately for our benefit. And these are the kinds of things that help us to be more disciplined or more focused in whatever our New Year's resolutions might be. And many times these coaches and mentors are also leading by example. So I know that my wife goes to Pilates classes, and the Pilates instructor doesn't say, hey, just get down in that funny position that's impossible and do it for 3 minutes. The instructor is actually doing that work side by side with the pupils, and they're then seeing by example how to do what they're supposed to do. In order for these things to be accomplished, by and large, you need to be encouraged and supported by those that you love. And again, in the whole diet and exercise department for my life, if my family didn't give me the time to exercise, I wouldn't do it, and therefore I wouldn't accomplish my goal. So, with all this in mind, what better time of the new year, to the beginning of the new year, to consider your relationship with our Lord and our commitment to serve Him? It's as good a time as any. And so today's sermon is mostly pointed towards Christians, that are men, women, and children. And I'm pretty sure that covers everybody. Maybe some people more than once. And but it's mostly this is mostly sort of a reminder to us as Christians. And it will hopefully be helpful to those who are not yet confident in their faith, or maybe don't really believe that Jesus was really God. Hopefully it'll help you too if you're there, if you're here today. It's a little bit self-helpy, but I hope it'll be useful. So what is spiritual fitness and why do you need it? Here's a couple thoughts that I have in mind. It is the strength of our faith. It is our understanding of our faith. It is our relationship with our Lord and the resulting relationship with the world and the people around us. Okay, so spiritual fitness, according to me anyway, is the strength of our faith, our understanding of our faith. So how strong we are in our faith, how much we understand it, our relationship to our Lord, and the resulting relationships that we have with the world around us. Okay, and the people around us. And it is represented in our ability. So whether we have this fitness or not is represented in our ability to resist sinful temptations. It is reflected in our disciplined lives of devotion to God and our desire to respond in thanks to our Lord for his gift of salvation through our Son. So you've heard Pastor Howe many times say that our outward obedience to God is a response of thanksgiving to him. It is not what earns us to heaven. It is how we respond by recognizing that he has given us heaven through his Son. So here's a few verses to remind you of your obligations. A few of many. I realized this morning in the shower that there's probably a website that I could have looked up that if I had typed in New Year's Day sermons, I bet I would have gotten a sermon and I would have had millions of verses I could have just cherry picked from them. I didn't think of that until I had already printed the bulletin. So you just get the ones I could think of over the course. It's been a great devotional time for me over this week. Romans 12:2. I'll read it for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And obviously that's King James Version. For you that don't know, ye is the same as you, right? Be not conformed to this world. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by God. Of course you know this, right? I'm probably not going to teach you anything this morning. This is not a teachy sermon. This is a reminder, encouragement sermon. So be reminded. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. How much of our life are we remembering this? Hopefully a lot, that we are working, we are studying, we are being obedient, not to gain the praise of men, but to gain the praise and acceptance by our Lord. And then Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if we recognize that God is our God and that we are his people and owe him everything, just as servants owe a king, then this is what we are called to do, being living sacrifices to him. Okay, so there's your reminder. But that's not it. Where do you need to improve your life? Especially around your obedience and devotion to our Lord. Where do you need to improve? I have some practical ideas. You don't have to decide the answer to these things right now. But later today or this week during your time of devotion, where do you need to improve your relationship with God? Get a pen and paper out and write down what you come up with. And I would suggest that you should start with the positive. And hopefully that's not a list with nothing on it. What did you do well this year for your Lord? And it could be little things. It doesn't have to be big, grand stuff. But write it down. Acknowledge. Remind yourself of, hey, I was at church. every Sunday, most every Sunday, I spent time in the Word. Whatever it happens to be, write it down. And then move on. To list your weaknesses, your idols, your sins, your doubts, your fears, your opportunities for improvement. Write them down. Just doesn't have to take a long time. What are those distractions or those idols that have been getting in your way that you know about? Most of the time, in my experience, my sinful life, I understand it and I know what it is. I bet it's the same for you too. There's occasions where somebody might point something out to you that you didn't realize was a sin, or you didn't realize you were sinning in that way. And so, you know, leave the door open that somebody can point things out for you. I suspect, though, most of us, young and old, know where our opportunities for improvement are. Write them down. Being honest with yourself will help you strengthen and ask God for help. And having it in writing, in black and white, will help you to remember what to be praying for and what to be concentrating on. Consider finding a trusted fellow Christian to share with. This is a hard but useful way of us asking for accounting from others around us. Somebody that you trust, a fellow Christian that has a willingness to share with you at a personal level. And then something I added this morning, and this is probably worth writing down too. On average, how much time do you think you spent per day in 2014 in devotion to your God? Either in time here at church, time at home reading, time praying, time engaging in ministries. How much time did you spend each day? And how much time are you willing to spend in 2015? Whatever that might be. Is it 5 minutes? Is it 15? Is it an hour a day? On average, maybe? It can't be zero, right? We know it can't be zero. You cannot have a God that you truly know is your God and not spend any time devoted to that God. It has to be more than zero. But I'm not asking for a 5 hour a day prayer time. And I suspect that as you mature as Christians, and again, I don't care how old you are, you have to spend more than zero. Doesn't matter how old. If you understand my voice, which is probably anybody over the age of 6, maybe 5, you have the opportunity to spend time with God every day. And if not by yourself, then certainly with your parents. Something else to write down after you've done all that sort of accounting is, what are your goals? What are your goals for 2015 as relates to God, as relates to your relationship with your Lord? Write it down. These can be simple or complicated depending on where you are in your maturity and your walk. And there should be some. Doesn't have to be many, but there should be some. Reading your Bible every day is a really good goal to have. If you don't do that, or if it's a struggle, just write it down anyway. If you do it every day, write it down anyway. It's still one of your goals. Praying every day, being at church every week, being at Sunday school is a good and useful way of fellowshipping with your congregation and being blessed by God. It's not a demand, it's just a good idea. How about these? Not swearing. Not swearing. Not using your mouth in inappropriate ways. Maybe you could be more kind. Maybe you could be less angry. Maybe you could be more thankful. These are things that span ages. They span life circumstances. They are universal opportunities for us to live better lives. Memorizing more verses. I hate memorizing verses. I'm not good at it. I don't really spend as much time as I should. But my kids memorize a lot of verses, and I can see the benefits of it, because when I can't remember things, they pop them right out. So I would suggest that adults, if you don't remember many verses off the top of your head, it's a good use of your time. It might be a way for you to establish a goal for the year. Reading commentaries is not a very glamorous way to spend your time, but it can be very useful, because commentaries are intended to help explain the Gospels or the Bible as we're reading them, and so that we understand them more deeply. And the list could go on forever. How much time should you spend each day? I think is a question that you should answer and wrestle with and challenge yourself with day to day. So, with all that in mind, those are all your opportunities, those are your goals, you've established them. So, a fitness program, you generally need to work on your muscles. And spiritual muscles, is the term I'm going to use for this morning, are just the same. And in many cases, exercising these spiritual muscles will undoubtedly accomplish some of the goals that we've just talked about. So, prayer is a spiritual muscle. You must use it or it will atrophy. Praising God in prayer, confessing your sins in prayer, asking for forgiveness to God in prayer, asking for the things that you need for yourself or your family or your loved ones or your enemies, seeking out God's answers in prayer. And there's a couple of passages that I'll remind you of. Mark 1, verse 35. This is about Jesus. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. It's a great sign of Jesus's discipline to get up early. How many of us, myself included, would rather stay in bed until the last possible minute and then get moving and sort of miss that opportunity? The Lord's Prayer is a great model to follow. If you don't, as a young person, necessarily know how you should pray, pray the Lord's Prayer and then start jazzing it up a little bit. So you can pray a part of the Lord's Prayer and then add your little real life ideas to it as you go. It's a simple way to get started. Working on your spiritual muscles by worshiping. That's what we're doing today. Sunday services especially, but also worship at home. This is mostly being spoken to the adults, I guess, the parents and the singles and the married couples, and is to spend time worshiping at home. A great verse is Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Many of us know this psalm by heart. It is calling for us to be together to worship. Personal devotions. This is an obvious spiritual muscle that must be worked on. Reading God's Word or reading books that help you better understand God's Word. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And this verse goes on to talk about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. These are all things that help protect you and strengthen you against the evil out in the world and within even the evil and sinfulness within your own heart. My father used to say, you should never go out of your house before putting on your armor every day. And this is what we have in mind, is the idea of being protected while we're in the world. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we see several other examples in the Bible of people walking in darkness and stumbling around and running into trouble because they don't know where they're going. A spiritual muscle is a fellowship with Christians, which I think, by and large, we do an okay job of as a congregation. There's always opportunities to improve. Praying together and studying together and supporting each other. These are important parts of what the Christian body should be doing together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And then there's my favorite verse. It needs no lead in. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. So I'm just reminding you that it matters to me that you are exercising these spiritual muscles. That's why I'm your elder, and that's why Pastor Howe and I will visit with you on occasion and see how you're doing, maybe give you a little bump every once in a while in a loving way, intending it for good, that we be pursuing a life of holiness before our God. And then ultimately, the spiritual muscles all combine into listening to the Holy Spirit. If we're investing ourselves in these different ways, we will find the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life. And then just sort of one practical reminder about this. As you find opportunities to get new jobs or to acquire a new apartment or new things, remember this. God will never call you into sin in order to get what he desires for you. There will never be a moment in time where you should be able to say, I think God wants me to have that candy bar, so I'm going to steal it. This should never come to mind. The things that God wants for us, he will provide a righteous path in order to gain. So, once you've got those goals and you've been exercising these spiritual muscles in 2015, and I know you're all going to do a great job, what do you do next? Why become fit unless you're going to use the fitness that you have been working on? So, and I suspect by using these spiritual fit bodies that you're now going to have, you will become even more fit as a result. So, one way to do this is to obey the Lord and to resist sin. Fairly obvious. Again, I told you this is going to be more preaching, not teaching. So James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I know this sounds impossible sometimes. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There's more. Colossians 3:8-10. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Bless God by blessing others. And again, I think we do a good job in this congregation of living that verse out. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to tell people why you do what you do, why you believe what you believe. And then there's all kinds of ways to apply this in ministry too. There's service in the church. There's ministries of mercy in our community and in our church. There's ministries of evangelism and teaching, both in our church and outside our church. And there's ministries of justice for the weak and the needy, people who can't take care of themselves or can't stand up for themselves, need Christians to look out for them and look after them. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, with that in mind, here's a couple of scenarios. I'll try not to make these too long. If you're a parent, I see some parents here. If you're a parent, parent well. Set a good example for your children. Teach them about the Lord. Care enough to say no when you think they are in danger or doing something wrong. Discipline with love and a desire to see your children saved. And don't forget to pray for them. If you're a father, and I know there's some fathers here, you get extra on top of that being a parent stuff. You get to lead well. Be a model to your wife and family for how one should be in God's word. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Lead in family worship. This is an easy one to forget. At the end of a long day, kids are all ready to run or not come to the table or whatever it is. You as the father, as the leader of the house, needs to collect them. Insist that your children are in church and protect your family from evil. There's all kinds of ways in which evil creeps into our homes. If you're a child, how many kids are in the room? Raise your hands. I see some hands. Children, raise your hands. If you're not an adult, under the age of 18. Okay, I see some hands. Good. So this is for you. If you're a child, your job is to learn well. Maybe that's not a surprise. You need to respect and obey your parents who love you. And you need to love them back. And you need to follow their examples. And you need to resist the pressures of the world. You need to invest yourself in your Christianity and not just get in the car because you have to on Sunday mornings. If you're single and looking forward to being married. So there's two kinds of singles, right? There's singles looking forward to being married, and there's singles that are okay not being married. And, you know, maybe those things switch back and forth from time to time. That's okay, too. So if you're single and looking forward to being married, your job is to wait well. Seek out God's plan for you. Be willing to wait for Him to introduce you to a compatible Christian. Consider Jesus' standards for loving others. So who did Jesus love the most? The down and out. Maybe not the beautiful. Maybe not the perfect. If He can do it, although He sets a pretty high standard, we should at least consider it. If you're single and think that you won't marry, you get to invest your time well. And Paul was a great example of what's possible for someone who is concentrating on God's ministry. If you're an empty nester, I know we have a couple of those in the room. If you're an empty nester, mentor well. You've been through much of what others have gone through. And this holds true for the long married, as well as those that have been divorced or who have made mistakes that they can help coach others through and can be a great reference point for those who don't know what's coming. If you're married with no kids, that happens. Some people are blessed in that way. You get to use your time well and mentor well and serve well, too. If you are a living, breathing person, everybody in the room living and breathing? Okay, I've got one. Anybody else want to raise their hand? Okay. Everybody that's living and breathing, your job is to love well. And you can read them later. But the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 show us how people of different characteristics, different talents, different backgrounds and strengths can all serve God and each other in good ways. And if you're a member of this church, and even if you aren't, you can serve well and you can pray well. There's one last category. If you don't believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you don't believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, today is the day that you need to change your mind and listen to what has been pricking at your heart. You need to ask Him to reveal Himself to you, and He will, without fail. So that's a whole lot of self-help, a whole lot of things that I've given you to go think about and do, and if you do them right, everything will be fine, right? We can't forget God's grace. Even with the best of intentions, let's just imagine we're all going to leave today ready for 2015. We're going to write our list down. We're going to do a better job. We have great intentions, even with the best of intentions. And the discipline of what I call the spiritual Olympian, right? Everybody knows about the Olympics. These are the people that spend their whole lives, or much of their lives, training for that one event, or that one race, or that one competition. Even with that kind of devotion, it is not enough. 1 Corinthians 6. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His own power. It's God's power and not our own. We can't earn our way to heaven. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We can't accomplish these things without the Lord's help, and Jesus is what makes our salvation possible, not our efforts at being good Christians. Our good Christianity efforts are a response and thanks. We must strive and pray for balance between the desires for self-powered betterment. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to be active in my own salvation. We need to balance that with the humble reliance of our Lord for blessing. Either side of the spectrum is dangerous. If we're all about, heh, God save me, I can't do anything wrong, I'm not even getting out of bed today because I know I'm going to be blessed. That's wrong. I think everybody would acknowledge that. And we can't be the Arminians, which is not a country, it's a belief, that I do it all, or I do part of it, I get myself to heaven, God helps me a little bit, but I do the rest. We are all about grace. We could not have saved ourselves, not in a million years. Contentment in life comes from knowing that we are God's children and He loves us very much. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, means selfishness or desire for things that aren't yours. And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, which is that He was truly God and man, that He lived a perfect life, and that He was killed, dead in the grave, and yet came back to life. If that is who you believe in, and if you've placed your faith in Him and have sought forgiveness from your sins, it just doesn't happen. You need to go before Him and repent, and you're acknowledging your sins and weaknesses, then you look. When God looks at you, He sees a superstar. He sees a perfectly fit, spiritually fit person. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Never forget that you are covered by Christ's perfect fitness. So, what do? We press on and we be disciplined in 2015 in thanksgiving to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that some of these words would have been helpful to some here today. And Lord, I pray that if there are those in this congregation of people this morning that are not convinced that they need your Son and that they need your forgiveness, that today will have started a path so that in 2015 they will discover that need. For those of us, Lord, who are seeking to follow you, I pray for the strength of your Holy Spirit to lift us up, to allow our hearts to open and accept that we can't do these things on our own, but that we desire to do them as thanksgiving for the great grace that you have offered to us. Lord, may we be encouraged, and when we make mistakes, Lord, may we be quick to acknowledge that sin and seek repentance and be strengthened for the next time. May we find ways, Lord, to encourage one another. May those in families find ways in which to have godly households. Those without families, Lord, that they might find their purpose in life, that you would lead them gently and kindly. For those of us, Lord, that have many physical needs, that we would see them answered in this year to come. And for all of us, Lord, that you would strengthen our obedience and our devotion to you, that this small church would be a great work for you, seeking the lost and bringing them to salvation. We give you thanks, Lord, for these many promises that you've given us in your scriptures. In Jesus' name, your Son. Amen. Please turn in your psalm book to Psalm 90, Selection B. The psalm asks God to help us count our days, which is another way of saying appreciate our lives. And it acknowledges that God has allowed trouble in our life, and it asks Him now to send gladness and joy to us. Many of us have experienced trouble in our lives in this past year, and this psalm is asking for God to end that time of testing and to allow us to see gladness and joy. And it asks God for blessing and good favor by blessing the labor of our hands. Let's stand to sing Psalm 90, Selection B. Worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. give thanks. Father in heaven, we know that all things are from you. Everything that we have, everything that we own, the work, the things in our houses, things in our refrigerators, we know are all blessings from you. And we bring this small portion back to you, Lord, as a testament that we rely on you and you alone for our well-being and for our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would allow this money to be used well by our deacons and by our congregation. We pray that you would bless us in our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, let's turn to Psalm 138b. 138b. This shows that we are to bring our thanks and our praise to God. The psalm is all about that. It says, "You answered when I called." It says, "The Lord keeps his eyes on the lowly ones," those are the people in need, "but not on the proud and the haughty. Our path may be through trouble, but God will preserve our lives. God will work out his plan in our lives, and God's love endures forever." Please stand and sing together 138 selection. People of God, receive his blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.